Amen. Hey, if this is your first time at our men's breakfast, we are just thrilled that you came out this morning. My name is Wayne Lanier. I'm one of the pastors here at Celebration, and Pastor Chris, who is usually here teaching at men's breakfast, he asked me to fill in for him today, and told him I don't think that's really possible. His feet are too big, but you know how that goes. Not to mention his biceps, and I do have a little bit of hair, so you know what I'm saying. That kind of deal. Hey, but today I want to just take a couple minutes. We're going to look at a couple different passages in the Word. That's the whole, our goal here in our men's breakfast is to kind of start our week off by, you know, taking some things in God's Word. And then we'll do that till about 7:30. And then if this is your first time, we're going to kind of break up. We kind of have some table leaders here with us in the room. We'll kind of break up, have a little till 8 o'clock, and have some discussion and talk around the Word today. We're going to start out. I'm going to read a couple of things. I'm going to go to three different places in the Word today. If you have your Bibles, you can read with me. I'm actually going to be reading out of the Message Bible, mainly because that's the one I read out of pretty much every day. But in Joshua chapter 1, I want to look at a couple of key things that I think are really important, you know, because all of us, get excited about the person that was, you know, kind of the ordinary, you know, had an ordinary kind of life. We love those movies, you know, where the guy kind of was living an ordinary life and something went terribly wrong. And then all of a sudden he like steps up to the plate like never before. He takes on challenges never before. He drove faster than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Somehow or other, he pulled it out. He got he toughed it through. Whatever it was, he stood up to the challenge. He found some courage. Even though he was scared out of his mind, he kind of went, you know, we all love those. You know, we liked it. We want to be that guy. We want to be, you know what? I made it through. I overcame. I my business was successful. I made, more money than everybody else. I did, you know, we all want to win, right? We all want to win. And that's because you were created that way. You were created to win. You were created to be successful. You were created to be that. And I think it's important that we pull out a couple of things as we look into the Word today to recognize, you know, what does that really look like? What does that really look like? And so we're just going to start out in Joshua. You know, Joshua's he's got the perfect scenario that we like. Here's a guy who's, you know, he was Moses's right-hand guy, and he served Moses, and now Moses has died, and so he finds out, you know, there's a land to go conquer. There's a place that's out there just for you. As a matter of fact, not only do you have, is this for you, but this specific mountain out here, I'm going to give you whip the giants, you know what I'm saying? You go and you take over, and you're actually going to wind up with your own mountain. Come on, man. You know, that's it. You know, you just want your own mountain. You want the thing that's yours. You know what I mean? Everybody else can have you can have the chain, but this mountain is mine. And so here's the guy. He's going out, and in Joshua chapter 1, you know, it starts off, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I love this in the Message Bible. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, get going. Get up, cross the river, and he tells him to, you know, go into that country. I'm giving you this land. I'm giving you all of it. So he's kind of hearing God's promise. God is speaking into your life, and God's saying, you know, as you move on, God says, look, this is all yours. As a matter of fact, all your life, nobody's going to be able to stand against you. I mean, you are tougher than all that. And so he gets God's promise. Then God goes on to say about, you know, a couple of verses down, God says, look, I want you to know, I'll be with you. I'm not going to give up on you, and I won't leave you. You know, it's important to know today, as men, as the heads of our house, as we're moving forward into all that God has for our life, that this is what God is saying specifically to us. God's saying, listen, I want you to know, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on you. Some of us, we gave up on us. We've had a lot of people give up on us, but God says, I want to remind you. I've got all these promises, and we've all seen that, you know, God's painted the picture. This is what I have for you, and we all get that dream in our heart, you know, that we just kind of feel like, I just feel like this is a God thing in my life, and God says, I want to remind you, I'm never going to give up on you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. Then he goes on to say, strength and courage. The King James says, be strong and be of good courage. And then God continues to kind of paint this picture. But then he goes on to say a couple of really important points. He says, don't get off track. Don't go to the right or to the left. So to make sure that you get where you're going. To make sure you get where you're going. Basically, God's saying, you've got to stay focused on what I've said. You know, for us as believers today, for us, it's, you know, we have to stay focused on God's word. We've got to stay focused on truth. I don't know, there's a lot of things in life that want your attention. A lot of things that need our attention. But I've noticed in my own life, especially when things are not going well, think about this for a second. How the time and the energy and the thought and the amount of your life that problems get. But then what we have to think about is what might be different if I took some of that, you know, the stuff that's out of your control. I like to feel like I'm in control. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I do things just so I feel like I'm in control. I know I'm not in control. You know, I'm just out. You know, we're busy. You know, we try to get the busy work going because as long as I'm doing something, at least I feel like I've got some kind of control here. I've got, you know, I'm kind of moving it. Maybe it might work out. I like to feel like I'm moving in the right direction. Although a lot of times on the inside, I know this is absolutely out of my control. Whatever works out, it's going to be a miracle anyway, whatever. You know, it's one of those things. It's because we all want to feel like we've got some kind of control. But the reality is there's so much in our lives that's out of our control. But what we need to remind ourselves of is that nothing is out of God's control. Matter of fact, nothing escapes His hand. You can't even escape God's hand. He's always there. He said, look, I want to remind you, I'm with you. But what we have to recognize, if we're going to get where we're going, it's important that we take some time and give God's truth some extra attention. Because he said to keep ourselves on track, to make sure we're going to get where we're going, we got to focus on some right stuff. Because everything else is after your attention. What's wrong is screaming for your attention. The thing that you're working towards is screaming for your attention. All of this other stuff, and it's good, and we need to give it some attention. We just don't need to give it all of our attention. And above that, we don't need to give it our first attention. That's why David said in Psalms, he said, I am going to lift up my eyes. I believe it's Psalm 126, I think. 126, 124, somewhere right in there. David says, I'm going to lift up my eyes and I'm going to look up to the hills. I'm going to look to the place where my help comes from, because my help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. In other words, David said, look, I'm looking down here and I see all the stuff that's going on down here. That's easy to see. What's wrong is not hard to find. Have you noticed that? The stuff that's not quite worked out yet is not easy. It's not difficult to locate. In my life, usually I found out it's locating me. It's usually there when I wake up. It's usually there. You know, my emotions are screaming. My mind's thinking about it. I'm trying to get my plan going. I've got my grid and my scale and my 14 steps. I've got it all. And those are good. But I've got to remember to come back and give some attention to those things. And he goes on to say, if I'm going to get where I'm going, he said, don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation, let this word be out of your mind. Ponder it. Meditate on it day and night, making sure that you practice everything that's in it. For then you will get where you're going. Then you will succeed. Because haven't I commanded you to be strong and filled with courage? He said the key to being strong, the key to being filled with the kind of courage that only comes from God is when we make sure that some of our first attention is going into God's truth, into His promise, into what He has to say, and into who He is. Then flip over to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of chapter 1s real quick. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1, again, I'm reading to you from the Message Bible. It says, how well God must like you. That's a great reminder on Monday morning. How well God must like you. I love the way this reads. Listen to this. You don't hang out at the sin saloon. You're not slinking along the dead-end road. You're not going to Smart Mouth College. How about that? But instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. And you've become like a tree that's gotten replanted in Eden. You know what the Garden of Eden was, right? That was God's garden, right? That was God's garden. In the Garden of Eden, man, everything was right. Everything was right. And he said, look, because you've decided not to, that you didn't want your life just going the way everybody else was going. You know, the sin hangout's easy to find. It's easy to find. And we can live there, but we've chosen to go a different road, right? I don't know about you, but I lived long enough on a bunch of, you know, places that I thought I was going somewhere just to find out it was a dead end. So we decided we're going to quit going down all the dead end streets. Well, how do you not go down the dead end street? How do we keep ourselves out of the entrapments that sin's trying to have on our lives? How do we get our lives out of that, you know, feeling like we always got to have something to say? We always have to have the last word. Well, first of all, that happens because Jesus faced sin and all of those things, and he provided that freely for us. Come on, somebody. Jesus is the one who has given you right standing with God. Jesus is the one who has made you who you are. And because of that, now everything's come new on the inside, right? But now, as our mind, our thinking, you know, our biggest enemy, our biggest problem is not your neighbor. It's not what's going wrong. It's your head. It's your emotions that are running off the deep end. All of us, we all deal with this. But how do you get what's in here to help get what's up here in check? How do you get in your mind renewed, that transformation, right? That happens. It happens as we come in, he says, instead of all of those other things, we're getting our thrill for realizing, man, God is for me. God has got something to say about this thing. God has a promise in mind. We're chewing on the scripture day and night and day and night and day. We're usually chewing on, how am I going to work this out? Well, how am I going to fix it? Okay, what have I got to do to make them do what I want to do? What have I got? Can I say all the right thing? We're usually chewing on trying to figure everything out. But he says, listen, make sure you're spending some time eating some good stuff, because when you do that, you'll find that your life becomes like a tree that got replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked. They're just like windblown dust without a defense in court. But it goes on to say in the last verse, but God charts the road that you take. God charts the road that you take. Man, God is charting our road. And he's got a map. He's got a plan. He's working within you. We just have to submit ourselves to his truth. Amen? Let's look at one last chapter one real quick. And that's Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we all, Solomon, who is considered to be the wisest man that ever lived, right? He was definitely the richest man that ever lived. Ever. The richest people on the planet today don't even come remotely close to what this brother had. I mean, he had more stockpiles of gold and stuff and cattle and all resources and whatever. I mean, he had the rulers of the world coming to find out what in the world is going on. How did you? It's unbelievable. So here's a guy who's considered to be the wisest man in the world, and he wrote some stuff down. This is a guy who is David's son. God comes to him and says, I will give you anything that you want. Tell me what you want. And he says, I need wisdom. But without taking a whole lot of time, the reason he says that he wants wisdom is because his father and his mother for all of his life said to him, above everything else, you need wisdom. How do I know that? Because he wrote that down. He said, I was at my father's knee, and he said, above everything, get wisdom. So when God comes along and says, what do you want? He says, well, there's one thing that I need above everything else. So guys, listen, what you are sowing into your family can change everything. Deposit the right things into your family. And so he says he wants wisdom, so God gives it to him. And out of that wisdom, out of wisdom, all these other amazing things came into his life. So let's look at what he has to say. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, written down so that you will know how to live well and right. Anybody here not interested in living well and right? I think we all want to live well. We all want to live well. He said, I've written this down so that you can live well and right, so that you can understand what life means and where it's going. I am giving you a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair. I've written this to teach the inexperienced the ropes, to give young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women, and still a thing or two for the experience to learn, fresh wisdom to probe and to penetrate, the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. Wow. He said, I have put down in writing how to live well. This is what wisdom looks like. There's something in here for everybody. Sounds to me like this brother wrote some stuff down we ought to pay some attention to, right? I mean, this guy's written some serious stuff. And then he says in the very next verse, he says, start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. What a great statement. He said the first step in learning is bowing down to God. He goes on to say, only fools thumb their nose to such wisdom and learning. You know the definition of a fool? A fool, according to Proverbs, a fool is someone who refuses to learn by instruction. A fool is someone who only takes notice from pain. Don't raise your hand, but we all been some fools a whole lot of our life. You know what I mean? I go reading Proverbs, and I thought, man, there's been a couple of times I've stopped, and I thought, God, I'm in trouble. Everything you said right here that a fool is, I could just put my name there. Can I just replace fool and put my name? I'm tired of being a fool in my life. But he said, a fool is someone who refuses to learn from instruction. A wise person seeks it, learns it, and walks with it. He says, start with God. That's the first step is bowing down. Guys, the first step in our lives toward getting on God's road, toward fulfilling what God's plan is just taking time to bow our lives down and say, you know what, God, above everything and at the end of everything and before everything, if you're with me, I know I'm trusting you to work all the details out. I finally realized I don't have control over everything. And so I'm just going to submit my life to you. I'm going to submit to you. He goes on to say, pay close attention to what your father says. And then he goes on to give some great instruction. And then in verse 20, he says, wisdom goes out in the street and is shouting, calling. In other words, wisdom is there. But then it goes on to say in 25, this is wisdom that's calling out. And wisdom says, since you laughed at my counsel, you just made a joke out of my advice. How can I take you seriously? Wisdom is saying, I'll turn the tables and I'll joke about your trouble. It says, what if the roof falls in and your whole life goes to pieces? What if a catastrophe strikes and there's nothing to show for your life but rubble and ashes? You'll need me then. You'll need some wisdom then. Then it goes on to say, and you'll call out for me, but don't expect an answer. No matter how hard you look, you won't be able to find me. Because you see, wisdom doesn't show up just because you need it. Wisdom comes because you gave the right things, the right attention long before. Now the good news is that God's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you. He'll come to our rescue. Thank God he will come to our rescue, man. When we have screwed it up beyond, he's never leaving us and never forsaking us. But what he's talking about here is having the wisdom in the moment, having God's wisdom in the moment to be able to know what step do I take now? Not just needing another bailout. Not just needing another rescue. Thank God for, hey, you know what? God will rescue you, man. He's not going to leave you out there. Thank God for the men in this room. You've got some men in your life now. You've got some men in your life that'll come to your rescue, that'll be there for you. We all need that. But what he's talking about here is not living your life always being needy, always needing to be rescued, but living it with wisdom. Living it with wisdom. And that's why he goes on to say, because you hated knowledge and you wouldn't have anything to do with the fear of God, because you wouldn't take my advice, because you brushed me off. Basically, he goes on to say, don't be shocked that you're lying in the bed that you made. Don't freak out because this is the place that you're at. Because this is what happens when you live as a fool, it goes on to say. I don't know about you, but it's time. I want to apply my life to some wisdom. And God has said, he's given it to us all here. It's his words. It's what he has. It's what he says. And we can come to him. The good news is today's a great day to get a fresh start. Today's a great day to make a step in that direction. Today's a great day to plant some right seeds. Today's a great day to put some attention on some right things. Because here's the miracle. When God is in the mix, man, everything can change like that. everything can change. So I encourage you, take some time, spend some time in there. You know what I do regularly is I read through Proverbs regularly, I read it in different translations and with a different purpose in mind. I'll read it with an intention. Sometimes I'll read it with the intention of saying, I want to learn something about leadership. Another time is I'll read it, I say, I want to learn something about, you know, leading my family. Another time I want to learn it financially. Another time I'll read it, I'm looking for something, because it's filled with wisdom for life. So we're going to pray, and then if you guys lead and want to give some instructions, we'll break up into the table groups, and Steve, if you got some instructions you want to give, but let's pray and we'll go into that time. God, we love you today. Lord, we're grateful for all that you do in our lives. Lord, we are so thankful for your working and for your hand, and we give you honor. Lord, we seek your wisdom. Lord, we want your thoughts. God, we're going to chew on your word. Lord, we're going to put our thinking into what you have to say. We're going to give your wisdom some serious attention. And we thank you that because of that, the fruit of that, that it produces in our lives is so amazing. And so we give you honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.